listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help church leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today joining me is Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. Today we are continuing our study, How to Share Christ. Today's session is Session 5, Share the Message. Now, I know we've been talking about sharing the gospel, sharing the message, but today we're going to dig, just add another level, I guess I should say, add another level, because we're going to talk about sharing the gospel with any culture, any time, and any place. Paul gives us an example of how to communicate the gospel in any situation. And our session today is from Acts 17, verses 16 through 18, 22 through 23, and 30 through 31.
All right, so the point of our lesson today is our daily conversations are opportunities to share Christ. And so let's go ahead and look at the lesson here in Acts chapter 17. So our first section is be sensitive to opportunities. And so this is Acts 17, 16 through 18. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed when he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with those who worshiped God, as well as the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also debated with him. Some said, "What is this ignorant show-off trying to say?" Others replied, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign deities because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection." All right, so here we are in this first section, be sensitive to opportunities. And so, here's Paul. He was in Athens, and he just noticed how the people were living and that the city was full of idols. And so he took advantage of the opportunity to begin to share. It is much like the Great Commission, remember, in Matthew 28, which says, as you are going. And so as he was going, he found an opportunity to share. And let me just say that he is not the only one who lives in a city full of idols. We all live in cities full of idols. And so all of us too have an opportunity to share. What's your opportunity, Christina?
Yes, we do. And you know, I was thinking the same thing, Mark, that this world is just like you just described in the scriptures. Now, we live in a time when people are not very friendly to those who share the gospel because their focus is on the world. And the indication of this is seen, and even in our laws are being changed to support some of the idol worshiping and the deceptions that they believe in. So we have to understand that there is an unfriendly world out there, just as this world was that Paul was in, or this place where Paul was in was not friendly to him. They had already begun to intimidate him and just launch some misconceptions about him. But we're going to learn something from Paul, and Paul has set an example for us to follow on what we should do in this particular case.
All right, so it says that where did he go? He He reasoned in the synagogue. That would be like us going to places where religious people hang out, right? He reasoned in the synagogue with those who worship God, as well as in the marketplace. So you go to the religious sites and to the marketplace every day with those who happen to be there. So the marketplace, remember, was the place where they would go naturally to pick up goods that they needed for their homes, food and other items like that. And since they didn't have a lot of refrigeration and storage, they would have to go there sometimes on a regular basis. And so it was a great gathering place. And so maybe during the 70s and 80s and even the 90s, maybe the malls were the marketplace where you could find people all the time. But today, I would venture to say that the social media space is our current marketplace. It is a place where people hang out and gather. And so it's a great place to be able to get people in a conversation about Jesus. And so so then it says, in he said that some of them were Epicureans and Stoic philosophers, and he debated with them. So these were people who didn't believe the gospel. You know, they were just people who were people of that day who had a lot of information. So who would you describe as the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers of our day, Christina?
Wow, that's a good question, Mark. I guess I would say that those that don't believe in Christ. You know, because a lot of unbelievers have their own philosophy about how they should live. And what they base their lives on has nothing to do with the way we should live. Remember last time we studied, or in one of our lessons in this study, we studied putting on Christ and to seek Christ. So we see that people that don't do that can be considered philosophers or philosophers in their own right.
So the Epicureans were not even sure God existed, and they did not, and he said, if he does exist, he's not involved in our lives, and they didn't believe in life after death anyway. So they said, only what I do right now matters. And the Stoics were those who believed that God was in everything, and that the way to achieve was to realize your fullest potential by reason. And so you got these two groups, but who are trying to find their way to the best life, but neither one trying to find their way to the best life through Jesus Christ. And so they talked about him, right? One called him an ignorant and a show off. And another one said he's preaching about foreign deities. And so keep this in mind, that not everybody's going to receive you. Not everybody's going to treat you kindly because you share the message of Christ. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't share the message of Christ. And one thing I would just say is that it says that he reasoned with them. And I've heard a lot of people trying to share the message of Christ with people that don't believe in Jesus, and they try to argue with them. That's not what Paul did. Paul did not argue with them. You will never win somebody over for Jesus by arguing. You may be able to walk away and think you bested the person and won the argument, but you will not win them for the kingdom. Instead, what did he do? He reasoned with them. That is to say, he tried to see things from their perspective and then tried to help them move from where they are to where God wanted them to be by helping them to see some things that they didn't see. Reasoning, reasonable conversation with them. So it's a great illustration there from Paul. And so be sensitive to opportunities. And like I said, he reasoned. So the second section is find common ground. You can always find some common ground with somebody somewhere, and that's where you have to start. Let me read verse 22. Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that you are extremely religious in every respect. For I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship. I even found an altar on which was inscribed to an unknown God. Therefore, what you are worshiping in ignorance, this I proclaim to you." And so, so there it is. They had all kinds of idols. And so Paul didn't make fun of their idols. He didn't try to put them down because of that. He simply tried to find a way to find some common ground and a foothold. And he says, "Here, look, you have one to an unknown God. And obviously he is not one of the ones up here. So let me describe him to you." So always finding common ground. This is what I believe, you know, that people who believe in other things other than Jesus, believe them just as passionately as you believe in Jesus. And so you are not going to win passion for passion, argument for argument. You got to find some common ground and then help them to see through a reasonable conversation how they can come to Jesus. All right. So what are you thinking on that section, Christina?
Yeah, you know, and that's amazing. That's really amazing, Mark, because one of the things that I understand is that a lot of people know that God exists and they believe in God. Some of them will even tell you what's in the Bible. But many times their theology and their doctrine is not correct, because of course they're not Christians. So, you know, that can be a common ground for us, a point where we can begin. And sometimes you just have to tell them, "Okay, you believe God did so and so. So just tell me where you find that in the Bible." You know, also another common ground that I've discovered is that many people want to be happy. You know, that's not just something that non-believers want, but something that believers want as well. They will strive for all the things that will make them happy. So that is a common ground as well. So be sensitive, as we said earlier, to those things that you have in common with people, because that will be a connecting point to helping them to understand the word of God or to share the word of God with them.
All right. Yes. So there it is. Be sensitive, find common ground. And the third thing is guide in understanding the gospel. Guide in understanding the gospel. Let me read this last section starting at verse number 30. "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." And so wherever you start in the conversation, you got to start where people are. So Christina just mentioned a number of great places to start in the conversation. But ultimately, you have got to take the conversation to the gospel. Take them to the cross and give them a gospel understanding of what is happening in that particular, as it pertains to that particular discussion. And so So these people thought that they were really smart, right? The Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers and the Jews in the synagogues and the others who believed in God. But look at what he said in verse number 30. He says, "Therefore, having overlooked their times of ignorance." God now commands all people everywhere to repent. And so, you know, and that's the point, that there are things that people will grab hold of. And so what we're trying to help them to see is that there is a more excellent way, that God has a greater truth. And so we guide them to that by pointing them and sharing with them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what do you think, Christina? This is a great message to be able to share with people.
Yes, it is, Mark. It says here that, you know, what it's saying here is that Paul did not leave his message unfinished. He called for repentance. And so just like Paul, we shouldn't hold back. We shouldn't hold back on the truth, no matter what people think. I can remember when I had the opportunity to go to Africa and share the gospel. It was an evangelistic mission that this team that I was with was on. And one of the things that we made sure that we did when we shared the gospel was to let them know if they did not receive Christ, then the other option was that they were going to burn in hell. And that was very clear. It was very, you know, a very strong message to help them to understand that this was serious, but it was very appropriate because they really needed to know the truth, and we didn't hold the truth back. So we need to take that standard when we're sharing the gospel, that common ground is where we are, but don't stay there. Make sure you call for repentance. And you know, be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is leading you to say and to do when you're talking to people.
Yeah, so one of the important things here, I just say, is that there are a lot of people with a lot of ideas, but ideas won't save you.
Amen.
So here this passage ends with, he has provided proof of this to everyone. How? By raising him from the dead. And so look, the next time you're in a conversation with somebody about these eternal truths, ask them what proof they have, and then share the proof that God has given you. He was crucified on a hill called Calvary, buried in a borrowed tomb, an early Sunday morning. He got up from the grave with all power in his hands. We have proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What can you share to prove whatever it is that you think? So this is a great message and a great admonition and teaching tool for how we can share the message. And I hope that you will dig into this teaching tool and use some of the strategies that Paul is employing here in this particular text in your everyday life as you share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what a great lesson. So if you're a teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment, because Christina Zimmerman is going to give us a fantastic teaching tip for today. But I want you to think about this. So here's one of the great tools. You don't have to buy a book on evangelism and evangelism strategies. This lesson is the evangelism strategy you need to share with the people who are around you. So make sure you get your copy of the U curriculum at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is designed for us and by us. It comes in paper and digital formats, has a beautiful leaders pack to help you out, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. Come on, Christina, and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, Mark, our teaching tip for today is say, I don't know. Okay, teachers, listen carefully, because we're all guilty of this. There may be times when you as a teacher just do not know the answer, especially when we have a tough study or a tough lesson. It's okay to say you don't know. When the question that we're wrestling with or that you're wrestling with in your class may be something that for generations has been wrestled with, then just say that. Your ability to admit when you don't know something will make you a more successful teacher. It will also make you relatable and more appealing. No one likes to know it all or want to know. No one likes a know-it-all. So kick your ego to the curb and ask bold questions. And don't be afraid to admit that you don't know the answer.
All right. So this is a great, great lesson. Maybe you ought to take weeks on this lesson because this is one that people really need. These strategies for sharing the message of the gospel are going to be invaluable. So friends, join us again for another You Urban Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.